Once again this evening, I'd like to begin by joining with Chris and welcoming everyone here. If you're visiting with us tonight, thank you for coming. We're glad that you've taken time on this beautiful Lord's Day to be with us. If you have any questions, we'd like to assist you. If we'll go to the Word of God, I'm confident we can find an answer. And it's a joy and privilege to assemble with the saints who work and worship here on a regular basis. Tonight we continue our sermon series entitled Minor Characters in the Gospels. We looked last week at Zacchaeus and the Samaritan woman. This morning we looked at Joseph of Arimathea. What we're doing is we're looking at characters that aren't quite as prominent as others. Characters that are often overlooked. But brethren, I'm confident there are important lessons to learn from these less important people. Tonight we're going to turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 2. And we're going to talk about a man named Simeon. Luke chapter 2. We'll begin our reading in verse 25. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 25. This was after the birth of Jesus. It was now time for Mary and Joseph to go to the temple. Verse 25 says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel.' And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.'" Here we are introduced to a man named Simeon. Among the Jews, Simeon was a fairly common name. This particular Simeon was an old man. And he had been promised by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he saw the Christ. Notice what the Bible says about Simeon. In verse 25, he's called a righteous and devout man. When we talked about Joseph of Arimathea this morning, we noted that the Bible called him righteous and good. And wouldn't it be great if the Holy Spirit described us in these terms? Cornelius was described as a devout man who feared God. Listen, if the Holy Spirit describes you that way, it's true. You know, men may be wrong in their assessment. You might have a fellow who's wholly crooked, but he puts on a front. He may have you believing that he's the most righteous man in the congregation. The greatest man on the block. But it's true, our assessment can be wrong. The Holy Spirit's assessment, however, can never be wrong. And so when the Holy Spirit describes Simeon as righteous and devout, you can take it to the bank. We're talking about a morally upright person. A man who loved and served God. And notice the Bible says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The NRSV says he was looking forward to. And that's the idea. He was eagerly anticipating when comfort would come to Israel. Now what does that mean? He was looking forward to the time when comfort would come to Israel. Brethren, this has messianic overtones all over it. The Jews anticipated the coming of Messiah, the coming of Christ, and they believed that when Christ came, comfort would come to the nation. So we could paraphrase this by saying he was looking forward to Christ. And indeed, the Holy Spirit was upon him. And the Holy Spirit had promised him that he would not see death until Christ appeared. That phraseology reminds me of what Jesus said in Mark 9, verse 1. Remember when he talked about the coming kingdom? And Jesus said, there are some standing here who will not taste of death until the kingdom comes with power. Kind of similar language, isn't it? Simeon was promised that he would not taste of death until Christ came. And can't you imagine how Simeon, day after day and year after year, was waiting for that, looking forward to that? He knew God's promises could not fail. He knew by the Holy Spirit that he would be blessed to see the Messiah. The Jews had been waiting for the Messiah for hundreds and hundreds of years. In fact, 700 years earlier, Isaiah spoke of the coming Messiah. And yet Simeon was blessed to know that he would live to see it. He would live to see the Lord's Christ. And brethren, that's exactly what happened. Notice verse 27. And he came in the Spirit. What does that mean, in the Spirit? The idea is he was moved or prompted by the Spirit. The Spirit told him to go to the temple that day. He came in the Spirit to the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. Apparently, Simeon didn't need to inquire. He didn't have to ask any questions. When he saw baby Jesus, he knew that's the one. The baby in that woman's arms is the Messiah. And can you imagine how caught off guard Mary and Joseph were? When this elderly man runs over and takes your child, begins praising God, and then he declared, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. In other words, now I can die satisfied. You have fulfilled your promise. My eyes, he said, have seen your salvation, that you prepared in the presence of all peoples. And notice it wasn't just for the Jews. He said in verse 32, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel. Simeon was elated. He was overcome with emotions. He couldn't control himself. The Spirit told him to go into the temple that day. When he was in the temple, this would be one of the outer courts, he saw the baby Jesus. He knew that's the one. He ran over and he grabbed him up. He began praising God. Finally, the Messiah had come. In verse 33, Joseph and Mary were astonished. The Bible says they marveled. And notice Simeon uttered a prophecy. He said, this child, this baby, is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel. In other words, some will rise because of Christ through their acceptance. Others will fall due to their rejection. He says that Mary too would suffer. This obviously refers to the agony of the cross. Seeing Jesus crucified for the sins of the world, Simeon said, a sword will pierce through your own soul. Brethren, Simeon was blessed in a way that very few were blessed. You think about the annals of history. even Jewish history. And yet this man was chosen, promised that he would see the Messiah. And he saw the Messiah before he died. Well, what are some lessons we can learn from Simeon? This is the only Bible account of Simeon. It's a relatively short story, but I'm convinced there are some pertinent lessons to learn. Before we look at our lessons, let's note some characteristics again. Simeon was pure. The Bible says he was righteous and devout. Number two, he was patient. The Bible says he was waiting for or looking forward to the consolation of Israel. Number three, he was prompted. The Bible says he came in the Spirit. He was moved or led by the Spirit. Number four, he was promised. The Bible says he was told that he would not see death before Christ came. And number five, he was prophetic. He told Mary and Joseph, "This child is appointed. He has a special purpose." So we see from Simeon that he was pure, he was patient, he was prompted, he was promised, and he was prophetic. Well, let's note three lessons. Number one, we learn that God's promises do not fail. You think about the promise that God made to Noah. God said, "Noah, I'm fed up with the sinfulness of mankind. I'm going to destroy the world with a flood." Let me ask you a question. Was that promise fulfilled the next week? How about the next month or the next year? That promise was not fulfilled for well over 100 years. But God was true to His promise, wasn't He? He said He was going to destroy the world with a flood, and guess what? He destroyed the world with a flood. God called Abram to leave his homeland, and God said, "I'm going to give you a nation. You're going to have a land of your own." Well, let me ask you, was that fulfilled in a relatively short period of time? No. That promise was hundreds of years in the making. But did God give him a great nation and a land of their own? You better believe it. In 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter addresses scoffers. They were saying, "Hey, where's the Lord? You said He was coming back. Where is He?" They had grown impatient. People today sometimes scoff at the idea of a second coming. What did Peter say? Peter said the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. Peter said He's coming back, and He's coming back as a thief in the night. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. God has always been true to His promises, and He'll be true to this promise as well. I wonder how long it had been since Simeon was first told that he would see the Messiah. I wonder if a decade had passed, or maybe 2 decades had passed. How long had it been since the promise was first made? Doesn't really matter, does it? God fulfilled His promise. He told him, "You'll see the Christ," and guess what? He saw the Christ. And Simeon said that salvation would come through Christ to Jew and Gentile. That promise was fulfilled too, wasn't it? Number two, to die satisfied, one must first come in contact with Christ. Now for him, this was physical in nature. When he physically saw the Christ, when he picked Him up in his arms, he said to himself, did you notice there in verse 29, "Lord, now You are letting Your servant depart in peace." In other words, now I can die satisfied. Well, for us, doesn't the same principle apply spiritually? A lot of people leave this earth kicking and screaming. They see death as nothing but dread and doom. And even Christians don't want to die. But we have hope, don't we? We have a favorable and confident expectation of something better to come. Well, that hope is only reserved for those who come in contact with Christ. Those who make Him their Lord and Savior through obedience. Do you want to die satisfied? There's only one real way you can die satisfied. You have to come in contact with Christ. That was true physically for Simeon. It's certainly true spiritually for us. And then number three, the uncontainable joy of salvation. Isn't this a resonating feeling throughout the whole story? Can't you, as you read this in black and white, can't you kind of feel as you read this the joy that's springing forth from Simeon? The Holy Spirit told Simeon to go to the temple that day. Can you imagine how he must have felt going to the temple? Today's the day. The Spirit tells me today is the day I'm going to see the Messiah. He probably couldn't contain himself. And then to be in the temple. And no doubt the temple was crowded. There were probably a lot of Jews there with their babies. A lot of activity taking place. And yet somehow, some way, Simeon immediately knew that's the one. That woman is holding a child, and that child is the Messiah. He runs over. Is there any indication whatsoever that he walked over slowly and said, "Excuse me, ma'am, if it's all right, could I possibly hold your baby for a minute?" Do you read of that in any way there in the text, either explicitly or implicitly? No, the implication is he ran over. He just took that baby. Wow, look at this. The promise is being fulfilled. And did you notice the first thing he did was praise God? The NCV says that he offered thanks. He runs over to baby Jesus, snatches him from his mother's arms, and begins praising and thanking God. He utters words that were so powerful and pertinent that the Holy Spirit saw fit to record them for you and me to read. And the feeling throughout this entire section of Scripture is overwhelming joy on the part of Simeon. An uncontrolled, overflowing joy. Am I the only one who senses that? Surely not. Doesn't that resonate from the text? You and I don't have the privilege of holding baby Jesus or seeing the man Jesus. But let me tell you something. We're blessed in a special way. We have the sacrifice of Christ completed. We don't have to live in anticipation of that sacrifice. As Kenny said in his prayer, the sacrifice was made once and for all. We have the big picture, the full story at our fingertips. We know how the story began and we know how the story ends. And let me tell you this, just as Simeon was awaiting the coming of Christ, are we not awaiting the coming of Christ too? He was living in anticipation of the coming Christ. So are we. This time, however, when Jesus comes, He's not coming back as a baby. He's coming back as the Lion of Judah. He's coming back as the Judge of the world. Simeon was excited about that. And when the time came, he could not control his joy. Brethren, that should be us too. I would dare say, if you're anything like me, if you had to begin listing characters in the Gospels off the cuff, Simeon would probably be near the bottom of your list. You may forget him altogether. I'll tell you, the reason I picked Simeon is because I was thumbing through the Gospels and I said, "Oh, look, there's Simeon." He's not someone who just resonates to the forefront of our minds, is he? When we think about the gospel narrative, he's often overlooked. he would certainly qualify as a minor character. But can't you see there are important lessons to learn from Simeon? This story was put here for a reason. It is for our benefit. Here are just three lessons we can learn. Number one, God's promises do not fail. Number two, to die satisfied, one must first come in contact with Christ. And number three, as Christians, we should have uncontainable joy. If you're here tonight and not a child of God, we never conclude a service without offering the Lord's invitation. Will you come tonight believing that Jesus is the Son of God because He is the Son of God? But understand that saving faith is an obedient faith. The Lord Himself said you must repent, you must confess Him before men, and you must be immersed in water for or unto the forgiveness of sins. Wouldn't it be terrible to die having believed mentally that yes, Jesus is the Son of God, but having never met the true conditions for becoming a Christian? So many people are outside the family of God and they don't know it. Week after week, service after service, we list the steps of salvation. We do that deliberately. We want people to know this is what God says you must do. You must believe. You must repent. You must confess. And you must be baptized. That is, immersed in water. And for a right reason. You're not immersed in water because you were already saved. You're not immersed in water as merely a sign or symbol of your salvation. The Bible says we are immersed in water to have our sins forgiven. Paul said in Romans 6, verse 3, it is in baptism that we're baptized into the death of Christ. That is, we come in contact with the benefits of that death, the redeeming blood. Christ is coming back. And the question is, when He comes back, when we come face to face with Christ, will we have the joy of Simeon or the terror of someone who's not right? Now's the time. If you're subject to the call of the gospel, there's no better time than this time. Why not come and obey the gospel for your own good as together we stand and sing?